Your full name is Zarina Bonu. What's the correct pronunciation of it?
Zarina Bono, yeah.
Zarina Bono. Well, so let's
You
start
can call
another
me,
episode.
okay, you can call me Banu.
Okay, I was going to call you Zarina, but okay, Bono then.
It does not matter.
Okay, sure. Well, let's start the third episode of the Medical Education Podcast then. Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Bono or Dr. Zarina, for being here. We have here Zarina Bono Farhodovna. Farhodovna, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, you
Well,
are right.
thank you. Thank you for accepting my invitation. Thank you for being here. Dr. Bono is from Uzbekistan and currently studies medicine in Turkey, is that right?
Fourth course now I am.
Fourth year or fourth semester? Which one?
We have 6 years, now I am the fourth.
So the fourth year. So that was a pretty interesting story. I usually know a bit more about the people I interview, I invite to the podcast, because before actually having someone here, I tend to do some research about them and look into their Instagram, watch their YouTube videos. So I tend to get an idea of where they've been and what they've done. But with Dr. Bono here, we had an unusual situation because almost all her videos or Instagram posts are in a language I cannot understand. Is that Uzbek?
Yes, in Uzbek language, yes. Some kind of my post in Russian and in Uzbek. Most of them Uzbek.
So I can look at the images and anyone can deduce she is a medical student. But after all, she qualifies for being here. She is a medical student and she studies in a different country from the one she is in. So I was quite interested in it. How does someone from Uzbekistan ends up in Turkey? Is that something that happens a lot? Is that common? And particularly because I myself, for example, have quite a few followers from Central Asia, but I believe that in most of the world we know nothing about Central Asia. So perhaps you could start by telling us where is Uzbekistan and how we differentiate it from different countries. For example, if there is a follower here that say, wait, Uzbekistan is that the same as Kazakhstan or Tajikistan? So what's the difference and what are the main characteristics of your country?
Our country only, I would say, it's most of, we have two parts, modern and historical parts, and we have a lot of historical sites, and I am from Bukhara, which is a more historical place, and most of the people speak in Uzbek, and now in English is developing day by day in this day, but in the future I intend to speak in English in my Instagram, inshallah, because I want my followers will be all over the world. When I speak only in Uzbek, my followers will be only in Uzbek. When I speak English and a different kind of language, most of the followers will be in the world, maybe. I want to be popular doctor for this reason. In the future, I speak in Uzbek after maybe 2 or 3 years. Because now when I speak in English in my Instagram, most of the my country's people don't know and they don't understand me and for this reason, they don't want to follow me.
I totally understand you. That's exactly the same reasoning behind my page and my channel being in English. I actually have two YouTube channels, for example. One is in English, one is in Portuguese. And when I started posting things, I started posting in Portuguese on my English channel. And then eventually I pretty much thought, wait, hold on. There are like 2 billion people in the world that can speak some amount of English, whereas there's like 250 million that speak Portuguese. Maybe I should do more videos in English. And then eventually I started making only English spoken videos on my main channel, and I started a second one for posting Portuguese videos. But my Instagram page is almost entirely in English, and English is not my native language. My native language is Portuguese. And the idea is exactly that one. Let's do the videos so that the largest amount of people can understand them. And I'm eagerly awaiting for a new update to YouTube. You have a YouTube as well. And YouTube started rolling out last year a feature that allows AI-powered translation of videos, which allows dubbing. I already subtitled my videos on other languages, but I'm very eager to have dubbing, so you could watch my video and hear as if I was speaking, for example, in Uzbek. That's going to be really interesting. It's going to open an immense audience for us, because you could just record in English and have it auto-translate to all languages. I'd like to see if Instagram is going to do something like that. But that would definitely solve our problem with your audience of posting in English and have people understand in Uzbek. So I've heard about the city of Bukhara before. If I mispronounce it, please correct me, because it's very hard for most Latin languages to pronounce Bukhara. The K and G, sounds, it sounds counterintuitive to us. As I talked before our talk here, I tried learning some Arabic, and my Arabic pronunciation is probably completely incomprehensible because of some of these sounds. But then again, we have the same problem with English, with some phonemes that do not exist in other languages, such as for example. But I digress. Let's go back to the main talk here. I've heard about Bukhara before. The name is familiar to me. What is the city famous for? I've seen some historical monuments.
Yes.
Was it the capital of some empire or something in the past?
The capital of my city is Tashkent. But Bukhara is not capital in Uzbekistan. Bukhara is famous for food, their palo. Their special palo, and famous for their most of the historical place. Most of the tourists every year, a lot of tourists come to our country to see our historical buildings. To tell the truth, Bukhara is a museum under the open air.
And nowadays, you currently are living in Turkey, or Turkey, as people have changed the name. Where exactly do you live in Turkey? Which city in Turkey or Turkey are you currently living in?
Ankara.
Ankara, so the capital, not Istanbul. I'm aware of that. The capital of Turkey is not Istanbul, it's Ankara. And what led you to go from Uzbekistan to Turkey, from Bukhara to Ankara? I've talked to other people, for example, who went from Brazil to Russia, and it's quite interesting when people go to a different country. What's the motivation specifically for you?
First of all, Turkish university different from Uzbek university. How? Now I can say about it. First of all, you can learn most of the professional in Turkey, because Turkish medicine is developing than Uzbek. First reason is that. And the second reason is Turkish university, most of the equipment is modern and all of the teachers are well qualified. And you will be a perfect doctor. And most of the Uzbek people, when they will be patient and deceased, most of them, they go to India or Turkey. To tell the truth, in Uzbekistan, we have doctors, but not mostly professional, you know. For this reason, I want to study in Turkish and learn about their, knowledge, and came to my country and work there and want to be professional in my city. For this reason, I went to Turkey.
So when you say that they have better equipment, are you referring to like teaching equipment, for example, computers, microscopes, or are you referring more to the medical equipment, such as, for example, a CT scan or an MRI machine? What exactly are we talking about?
They have a lot of opportunities for studying. In Uzbekistan, most of the teachers demand from students to be only with uniform, with white coat, will be on time. When you came late, about 5 minutes, they don't obey to enter the class for 5 minutes. But in Turkey, when you want to came to lesson, they let to come to the lesson. It does not matter. They want to teach, but some kind of Uzbek teachers, they don't want to give all of the knowledge like this.
Yes, I believe from what you said that people in Uzbekistan, when they are somehow sick or you often seek treatment abroad, for example, in India, then that leads me to believe that there must be quite a strong, how can I put it, medical tourism sector outwards, medical tourism sector in Uzbekistan. Is it very common for people from Uzbekistan to attend university in Turkey? Did you have many classmates or friends in Turkey that were also from Uzbekistan, for example?
No, most of the Uzbek students don't go to Turkey because their fees are very expensive for Uzbeks. They don't want to go, they want to go for business and some kind of faculty, but not medical. Because Turkish medical schools and universities is very, how to say, difficult. Most of the students cannot to continue their study because every 2 months they take exam, very difficult to study in Turkey. University in medical faculty, and first of all this, and the secondly, it's very expensive to study in Turkey, their fees, and the third reason, when you go to the Turkey, you need to more money for food and for accommodation, for clothing, like this, and most of the Uzbek parents cannot afford to for their children.
That's extremely interesting because it's pretty much the opposite of what I've seen until this moment myself. I'm from Brazil, for example. I'm Brazilian and I went to medical school in Brazil. And here in Brazil, there are many people that choose to attend medical school in Paraguay, for example, or in Argentina. I've even interviewed people who went to Russia, for example, from Brazil to Russia. And almost universally, we have a huge number of medical schools here in Brazil. Some of them are excellent, some of them are not that good, but there are plenty of medical schools of all different types. And usually people who choose to attend medical school in other nearby countries or faraway countries do so because it's cheaper. Because medical school tends to be cheaper, for example, in Paraguay than in Brazil, or in Russia than in Brazil. And your experience is pretty much the opposite. It would be the equivalent, for example, of a Brazilian going to study medical school in the United States, for example. You went to a place that's at least theoretically better prepared, better equipped, and yet more expensive. Your goals were pretty much inverted. How much is medical school in Turkey? Do you have a broad amount that could apply to most years?
I think about other countries, but why I choose Turkey, because Turkey and Uzbek is some kind of cultures are similar. For example, their language are similar, if you know about it. Uzbek language and Turkish language are similar. And secondly, and they are Kardeş halk. It means Kardeş, it means their friends. Country, Uzbek and Turkish. And thirdly, my sister married to Turkey. For this reason, my parents let me to read here. But first of all, I want to study in America. And for this reason, I learn English language to study America. But unfortunately, COVID-19 came all over the world. For this reason, I couldn't go to America and stay in Turkey.
Did you take the MCAT or some other admission exam for America?
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to go to America, yeah.
But did you actually start the process Did you apply for any tests? Did you come to interview at any university?
After graduated, I graduated university. I want to study in my master's degree in America, maybe, or Germany, like this. But I really want to study in abroad.
But ultimately, you want to go back to your native city of Buhara. That's what you have in mind so far.
But yes, when I finished all my studies, I returned to my city, definitely, because my parents are here.
That's interesting that you mentioned that Uzbekistan and Turkey are somewhat broader countries, friendly countries. I'm not sure exactly the term you used, but that's one of the first questions I ask people. Were there significant cultural differences? And apparently, in your case, there weren't. Were there any? Is there any significant difference between Uzbek and Turkish cultures?
To tell the truth, it has not different from Uzbek and Turkish culture. All of them, 80% culture are the same. For example, eating habits. Maybe they are Muslim and Uzbek also Muslim. And in addition, their language are similar. And and they are host people and Uzbek also like this. 80% our culture are the same. It's not difficult for Uzbek people. It's not difficult to live in Turkey. And also in addition, in Turkey people, it's not difficult to live in Uzbekistan because it's the same. Language and other things.
How expensive is medical school in Turkey and in Uzbekistan? Can you give an estimate?
Okay, in Turkey, university it costs $30,000 in a year. Okay, and in Uzbekistan, it costs maybe $16,000. In a year, 16,000 or 6,000. And in Uzbekistan, all of the students give money a month, about $50 and $100 every month. Government gave all of the students in Uzbekistan.
Okay, so they receive money.
But it will be cheaper when students give money from government every month, $1,000 or $50. They give their university, maybe we think it's $16,000. It costs cheaper for him or her. But in Turkey, we have not like this opportunity.
All universities in both Turkey and Uzbekistan are paid. There are no free universities.
Yes.
I'm asking this because here in Brazil, for example, the university I attended is a federal university, meaning it belongs to the government. So it's pretty much fully subsidized. You could call it free. The end result is that it is paid by taxes. So I didn't spend a single dollar, for example. For me, the university was free. But just a few of them are so-called free. The private universities here in Brazil usually charge like 120,000 reais per year. They charge monthly. So that would be around 20, 25. I think medical university here in Brazil, medical school, if it's paid, costs around $25,000 a year. So closer to Turkey, but somewhere in between. So for anyone watching, you can have this reference. In Uzbekistan, medical school costs around $16,000 a year. In Brazil, around $25,000. And in Turkey, around $30,000. Of course, there are more or less expensive ones. And what about medical culture? Are there differences in medical culture between Turkey and Uzbekistan? And I'm going to be a bit more specific on that. Looking at some of your pictures, for example, on university, I've noticed on some of them, you are wearing some kind of white hat that's unlike anything I've ever seen. It's a bit tall, almost like something between a surgical gown and a top hat. I've never seen anything like that before. First, what's the meaning of that? Second, is that Uzbek or Turkish or both? And three, does it represent a difference between medicine in Uzbekistan and Turkey? Are there differences in this style, in the way you dress, in the way you behave, for example, between a hospital in Uzbekistan and a hospital in Turkey?
Yes. First of all, Turkey, it's one of the best developing countries in medicine. Secondly, you won't just receive a diploma, but real knowledge and experience in this area. And certainly, graduating from a Turkish med school allows you to practice worldwide. And in addition, you will attend hospitals and clinics and work with patients while being advised by experts. Like this, for this reason, and Turkish university is better, I think.
And what about the hatch? What does the hatch mean?
It's called paçok. All of them. It's in Uzbekistan. In Uzbekistan, it's Uzbek classroom. In Uzbekistan, has their name is Kalpachok. All students need to wear in the class. I don't know why. One day, Turkish teachers came to Uzbekistan and they say, "Why you here like this white hat?" We say, "We also don't know." It's Uzbek rules. In this class, we teach from microbe, like germs. We learn from germs. For this reason, they don't want to our hair live there. For this reason, maybe.
Yes, but you could just wear some kind of surgical apparel.
I don't know. It's Uzbek rules. In the class, all of the students. Uzbek rules. I say, in Uzbek, when some kind of students want to study in Uzbek medical university, they must to wear always white coat in the class. And in addition, white hat. And in addition, they also will be on time. Don't late. If you late or 5 minutes, teachers don't obey to enter the class. Like this, if you don't come to lesson 2 days or 3 days, they don't permit to enter the exam. They say, first of all, you need to repeat C and say for me. After then, I permit to enter exam, teacher said in Uzbekistan, like this. But in Turkey, when you late 5 minutes or 20 minutes, they permit to come to the lesson.
Yes, here in Brazil, at least.
And in the Turkish lessons, when Turkish teachers teach in medical knowledge, if we enter the classroom with coffee or like some kind of snacks, they don't say anything in Turkey. But in Uzbekistan, when you enter some kind of coffee or water, they don't obey. They say it's not coffee. Don't drink coffee and some kind of snacks in the class. But in Turkey, they obey. They don't say anything. Like this difference.
Yes, here in Brazil, at least on the university I attended, we had something like in between. As a general rule, we did not have to wear white coats or any kind of hat, at least not on classes. It's a different story when we're actually seeing patients. When we were seeing patients, we have to have white coats. But regarding, for example, snacks or coffee or being late, that depended a lot on the professor. Professors had, so to speak, a lot of autonomy on their own classes. So, for example, there were professors who would pretty much let you arrive and leave whenever you wanted. You could arrive 1 hour late and still go into the class and watch it. And there were other professors, stricter ones, that pretty much were more like this. No, if you are 5 minutes late, you can no longer enter the class. But that level of strictness was rarer. And so we were talking about it before you started, that you are currently speaking 6 languages, you are original Uzbek. You've learned English because pretty much for the same reason I learned English, for the same reason everyone learns English, because it became the de facto lingua franca of the world. And then the next language you learned after that was Turkish.
Russian.
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 And then Turkish. And then
Turkish, Tajik language, and Arabic, six languages.
Is there any reason why?
And I now try to learn French and Chinese language.
Are you currently able to speak any French?
No, I don't know.
No?
But I want to learn.
Okay, doesn't hurt to try. Perhaps your French is still better than my Arabic. I wouldn't doubt it. I think it's actually quite likely. And why did you choose to learn Tajik and Arabic? Is there any reason for that? Because Turkish, I can understand. You went to Turkey.
Tajik, it's Bukhara's language. In Bukhara, cities people, all the people know Tajik language. And I heard and I learned it. But Arabic language, when I was 7th grade in the school, I went to learn it Arabic language. For read some book for this reason, I went.
Yes, for
like
Arabic.
And Russian language is essential. Russian language is also essential. I studied college in Russian. Hear me. I studied in school Uzbek language. And college, Russian, university in Turkey. All of the my studied different kind of language. Maybe my magister in
residency.
Different language.
Maybe your residency will be in English or in German, as you also mentioned.
But my English is not perfect.
But as I said before, it's perfectly comprehensible. That's the most important thing. Can I understand what you mean? If we can get the message across, then I always say that the ability to get the message across depends a lot on where people are willing to get the message across. I've talked to many people from many different places on my Instagram and on my YouTube, for example. People write me in languages I don't know. People write, for example, me in Urdu or in Hindi, and I know absolutely, or in Thai, and I know absolutely nothing about these languages. And I just put it on Google Translate, and I usually can get the general meaning, and I write an answer and send it back. And to some degree, I'm not going to encourage you to do this, because I can't answer everyone, and I'm not talking to you now, Zarina, but to the viewers. I'm not going to encourage the viewers to do it. If you know some very obscure language, don't try to write me on it, preferably write in English. But I've had sometimes almost full conversations in a language I have no idea of, just use Google Translate. So my point is, when you want to get the message across, and when the other person wants to understand the message, it can be done. Even if the English is not perfect, a lot of people complain about my English. I get a lot of hate from the Brazilian community about my English, but the message is being spread, the message is being conveyed. And so, where do you live in Turkey? At this very moment, now, are you in Turkey or in Uzbekistan?
Now I am currently in Uzbekistan, but when I go to in Turkey, I study in my sister's house. Because my sister married two Turkish men.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And another question I would make you is why you chose Ankara, and whether you considered any other Turkish universities. And I can pretty much deduce you're going to answer that it was your first option because it's where your sister lives. Is that right?
Yes. First of all, I searched from internet all kind of university, but I have only one chance. It was in Ankara, because all of the university deadline was finished. For this reason, I cannot enter. Only I have one chance. It was in Ankara. And for this reason, I handed my documents in this university.
Did you have to take a test to enter this Turkish university in Ankara? Did you actually have to take a test to answer questions? Or was it based on an interview you did? And you took the test in Turkey?
It was face-to-face, but exam was a test. When I give my documents, it was a COVID-19. For this reason, I couldn't go to the Turkey. For this reason, likely we have chatting online.
Sure, makes a lot of sense.
I prepared for chemistry. They said me our exams will be chemistry, biology, and math. Three subjects you must to prepare. And I prepared all the night, but in the chatting they give me only in biology question. Only one subject, but I prepared three subjects, you know.
Well, it happens.
It was my life.
Would have been worse if they had only asked you about math, for example. At least biology has more to do with medicine.
When abroad students or foreign students want to study in Uzbek medical universities, they don't. They must know five subjects. In Uzbekistan, all the faculties, you must know five subjects. And the exams will be five subjects like this. For example, in medical faculties, you must to learn chemistry, biology, and mother language and math, and the third is history of Uzbekistan. I don't know why it's need for medical university for medical students.
Well, I have a hint. If they are actually evaluating history of Uzbekistan knowledge, then perhaps it's so that foreigners don't get into med school in Uzbekistan because they don't know the history of Uzbekistan.
Yes. But you know, day by day, most of the Indian students come to our city. Year by year, most of the Indians come to Uzbekistan. When I conversed one boy, I said, "Why you came to Bukhara for studying medical?" All of the Indian students came to Bukhara to study medical faculties. But they have also medical faculties. They said it's cheaper. Bukhara, they said Bukhara is cheaper than India. They paid $30,000 for Uzbekistan. But in Uzbekistan, it is $70,000 in a year. They said it's cheaper for you. For this reason, most of our relatives and most of our friends come to Bukhara. Bukhara is cheaper.
Is med school the same length, the same duration in both Uzbekistan and in Turkey? Well, how long is it? Is it 6 years?
Yes, 6 years. Medical school in Uzbekistan and in Turkey is 6 years. The 2 years is theoretical, 3 years theoretical years. And the 3 years are clinic like this.
In both Uzbekistan and Turkey?
Yes.
But in Uzbekistan,
the 6 years, if you are sixth class, you need to choose your own specialize. If you want to be cardiology, and the six years, you go to only cardiology clinic, and you go to cardiology hospital. But in Turkey, it's not. You have 6 years, learn all. If you finished after, then you must to choose.
But even in Uzbekistan, after you finish your sixth year, for example, if you want to be a cardiologist, you still have to go to cardiology residency.
If you are in Uzbekistan, if you have finished university, you will not to be a doctor. You will be assistant and like this. After 6 years, you must to learn 2 years magister degree to your specialize for cardiology, neurology, what do you want? You must to learn 2 years, after 6 years. After then, you will be a doctor.
Yes.
What we want. Like this. But in Turkey, I said, I want to be maybe neurology. Turkish teacher said me, if you want to be neurology, after graduating university in Turkey, they must to pass exam. For example, your pound is 68, maybe 68. In the schedule, they have pound, and if you are 68 pounds, they must to be pediatric. If you are high pound, you can be my surgery doctor, like this in Turkey. For example, I want to be surgery doctor. In surgery doctor, you must to take 90 pounds, but I take 70 pounds. I cannot be surgery because they said your pound is 70 for this reason. You can be cardiology or neurology, like this in Turkey. I shook it, but in Uzbekistan, it's not.
Well, a lot of it sounds familiar to me. I would say I have some experience with Brazil, which is where I went to med school. And I also have some experience with the United States. Because originally, when I graduated from medical school, my original idea was to go to the United States for general surgery residency. So I, even though I did not go, I have some knowledge about the process and how everything works. And I'd say Brazil is more akin to Uzbekistan. It's also 6 years here. The first 2 years of University of Medical School are basically fundamental sciences like biochemistry and physiology. Then we have 2 years of like theoretical learning of clinical sciences like dermatology, cardiology, nephrology. And then the last 2 years are what we call internship, which is different from the internship in the United States, which is basically you'll be working supervised. And we also have a 3 months to 6 months elective when you just see the discipline you want to pursue. So for example, you spend 3 to 6 months in surgery. So in this sense, it's closer to Uzbekistan. However, once you graduate, you are already a physician. So you can choose to pursue your residency in cardiology, in neurology, but you can also just work. I don't have a residency, for example. I went to med school, stayed there 6 years, graduated, and I never actually went to residency, which is incidentally what you call master's. I'd say if you said master's to a Brazilian, for example, they would understand, but we generally call master's when you go into a more theoretical study and residency when you are actually learning to do something. But what you said about the scores determining your specialty matches a lot from the United States, for example, where many residency programs have cutoff values. So if you want to go to general surgery at Mayo Clinic, for example, you need at least a 245 score on the step one, for example. So it ends up working a bit like that. I'm going to ask a somewhat stupid question. Do most or all patients speak Turkish in Turkish hospitals?
In Turkish hospitals, they speak in Turkish language?
Yes, the patients, the doctors. Let me rephrase this.
Yes, all of the people speak in Turkish.
If someone wants to study medicine in Turkey, they absolutely need to know how to speak and read Turkish. English-spoken course.
If they don't understand Turkish language, it's difficult for there. For example, when I was the first year of student, I know Turkish language little because I think Turkish and Uzbek similar, but some kind of words are different, not all the words. First of all, was difficult for me because, for example, anatomy and physiology lessons, teachers come, always speak in Turkish language. I cannot catch up all the words, and it was difficult for me to understand. And after then, I sat in my study room, and I learned from YouTube Turkish language in the 2 weeks. And I learned the Turkish language in 2 weeks. After then, I can speak and I can try, and after then I know the lesson. If you don't know Turkish language, it's really, really difficult. And in our class, we was 80 students, 80. Now we are 63. All of the years they take exam. If you are low pounds, you must to read repeat this year and pay a repeat. Like this, it's difficult in Turkey. For example, if you are finished the first year and you need to will be the second year of the student, the second class, you must to pass exam. If you are pounds are 60, from 60 higher, you will be passed. And your pound is 89, and 89 in the low, 88 and 87 like this, you must study, repeat the first year. And you are also paid $30,000 repeat, like this.
The reason I ask you about the Turkish language is because I am aware, for example, that I know of a few countries, in Russia, for example, in Ukraine, in Georgia, I know that there are universities that offer medical courses in English. I know, for example, that the University of Tbilisi in Georgia offers medical school in Georgian, in Russian, or in English. When you apply, you can choose which language you want to attend medical school in. So that's why I asked. But I believe you've cleared it up pretty much that to study in Turkey, you need to know Turkish. Now let's get into something a bit different. I got to know you from your Instagram page and your YouTube channel. And even though I can't understand what you are saying or writing, I see you have a lot of pictures, some even from your personal life, but many of them presenting things, showing something by the bedside. What do you talk about in your Instagram page, your YouTube channel? And how did it come to be? How did you start this page and this channel? Why did you make this decision?
In my childhood, I have talent to speak. When I was 7 years old, I have a telephone from this my age. And I always buy new, up-to-date, modern telephone. And I want, and I like to take photos and speak like this. For this reason, after day by day, when I enter the university, I want to be a popular doctor. For this reason, nowadays social media is crucial. When someone want to something, all the younger enter the Instagram now and YouTube, and they search. For example, if they need cardiology, they search from Instagram. If they need some kind of food, they search from Instagram. Most of the young in Uzbekistan. Mostly 90% has Instagram, and for this reason I want to open my page and start to make some kind of videos, and I want to be popular. But nowadays I make money from my Instagram because I have a lot of followers, and some kind of companies gave me advertising, and I speak the money, and from now I earn money from my Instagram. Most of the companies say me, you have a lot of followers for this reason. Please advertise my product on your Instagram. And I say, okay, I advertise, but you give me like money. I say advertisement fees, and they paid. After that, I advertise in my followers.
I'm trying to go in a different direction. I'm starting my product store. If you've seen my Instagram recently, I'm selling some t-shirts and with the images I created using AI, for example. So I also offer classes and consulting services, but I'm trying to build a business out of it. But what you said about YouTube and the youth going to YouTube, not even only the youth, I go to YouTube all the time. YouTube for me became the knowledge panacea. While I was in med school, I would often study using YouTube. Back in like 2015, I would often go into YouTube, for example, for a topic I did not understand or I had a test on, and I need to learn about arrhythmias. And I would type arrhythmias on YouTube and watch videos on it. So part of the reason I created a YouTube channel is because I use YouTube a lot. And even nowadays, sometimes I get some problem with my laundry machine, for example, or with the television. And the first thing I'll do is get myself on YouTube, how to fix television. I used a lot for this. But how long has it been? You started it 3 years ago, is that it?
On YouTube?
On YouTube and on Instagram, both of them. Which was the first one?
Instagram, first one. Instagram. Yeah.
And you started it like 3 years ago, is that it?
First year, 1 year ago I started.
1 year ago? So you grew a lot. You are already at 30,000 subscribers with just a year.
I try a little bit.
What are most of the posts about? Are you talking about technical content of medicine? Are most of them advertisements? Are you giving advice to the general population? If I could understand your language, if I could understand this back, what are the posts talking about?
Most of the time I speak about disease and what people should I give some kind of advice.
For non-medical people. It's not like you're having a class. You are giving advice for the general population.
All of the people. First of all, most of them I post for people, local people, not for medical students or not for medical person, the people.
And do you have?
I want to help because I want to help to local people. It's not necessary for medical students my post because they also know about this.
And do you have any upcoming changes or news for your Instagram page, for YouTube channel? Do you have any upcoming plans? Are you going to start a podcast, for example? Are you going to launch a course? Do you have any upcoming ideas for your education business? I think I could call it a business. You derive income from it. Do you have plans, any upcoming plans for your business?
Yes. In addition, to the trust, I don't take money from my parents. I make my money all on my own. I have business. At night, I teach Turkish language for Uzbek people online. In addition, I sell some kind of medical products. For example, what colds maybe, like medical notebook maybe, like this. And how to say, like this.
Jesus. Kind of a curiosity, it's not the most.
But in my free time, I go to some kind of company or bakery company like this. And I take videos. And when I take videos, beautiful videos, they gave me money. For example, in a month, $200 or $100, $300 in a month, they give me.
Okay, Are you sure you want me to include this on the final version of the podcast? You don't want me to edit the value out? Well, this is just a kind of a curiosity, but I can see on your profile picture here, you are in some kind of library or bookstore, and behind you are the USMLE Step 1 First Aid books. Have you ever started for the USMLE? Do you have the same books here? Have you had your go at them?
Yes, I want to study USMLE, but I have not the time. Because I am the first class. In Turkish, I said now, 6 years, 3 years are theoretical and 3 years are practical. Now I am the practical classes until 9 a.m. From 9 a.m. until 12, we have practice from clinic to clinic. After then, from 12 and 1 o'clock, we have lunch time. After 1 o'clock until 4 or 5 o'clock, we have theoretical lesson. You know, there are always lesson. I have not spare time to prepare you, Samalan. Always lesson. Tomorrow we have practical, after lunch theoretical lessons are very a lot of. I'm tired. Most of the day I slept about 4-3 o'clock, prepare my lesson, because day by day they teach new things and we need to learn
And here I am keeping you up.
No?
And here I am keeping you up. Because for me here in Brazil, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. But for you, I think it's like 11:30 p.m. I think it's almost midnight where you are.
Yes, like this. In this video, you watch in this video, I show how to use in library, in Bukhara Medical University. I showed how to use and how to take book from library. If you want to take book from library to study at home, how to take. I show it from this video for students.
That's great. I'll make sure to include many of our posts and videos on the final podcast. I usually like to do this and include some videos in the middle to show the life of the person I am talking to and to illustrate what we're talking about. There's one last question. It's a bit specific. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to answer me. Speaking of practical classes, theoretical and practical classes, is Turkey a great place to learn procedures in medicine? I'm going to clarify what I mean. There are many countries around the world where medical students learn a lot about theory in medical school. So you learn about diseases and you learn about how to treat them, but you don't actually get, for example, to suture patients, to close a surgical wound, or to place a central venous line, to intubate a patient. And there are other places around the world, usually the ones that are more staff-starved, that have few people to work, where students get to intubate patients and get central lines. How is the scene, how is the environment in Turkey? Do you get to learn these things in practice in medical school?
Yes. They teach about all the things in medical school, all the things, step by step.
And you get to practice them on an actual patient.
Yes, but we cannot to do operation in Turkey. But in Uzbekistan, they obey. But in Turkey, if you finish it, your university, after then you practice in operation. But in Uzbekistan, it does not matter. If you are first class, if you are second class, they can go in operation room and you can assistant to the doctor and you learn. From first class, from the second class, when do you want in Uzbekistan? But in Turkish, when you finish it after them, I don't know. They have different. But you know, I take 2 diplomas. Uzbek and Turkish. My university and this Turkish university have contribution, cooperation. For this reason, I will take 2 diplomas, Uzbek and Turkish. I can work in Uzbekistan. And when I take Turkish diploma, I can work all over the world. It doesn't matter.
That's great.
That's an excellent perk.
Yes, that's a perk I believe not many universities have. To graduate, being able to work in more than a country. And that's a question I always make about procedures because it's one of the most critical lacking parts of medical education. We see it a lot of great medical schools that teach a lot of theory, but that do not graduate students that are ready to actually work because they are not experienced in procedures. But I believe that was my last question, the last one I had thought about at least. Do you have any closing remarks? Do you have anything else you would like to add I have not already asked? Anything you think it's interesting or important about either Uzbekistan or Turkey or medical education in general? Forget the remarks.
Okay. Just think about the talk.
Yesterday I slept at 4 o'clock. Now I have coming my sleep for this reason. You're both coming.
No problem. No worries.
Sleep, you know, my eyes are red now. I am tired because always lesson and must to study, and I must to work to make for making money and for make money. Like this, nowadays life is difficult for me.
No worries, I won't keep you up much longer. We're already finishing. I just ask if there is something else you would like to add to the conversation before we close.
I have only 2 years. Now I am the fourth. After 2 years, I finished.
Okay. Have you ever attended any kind of medical course or been to a hospital outside of both Turkey and Uzbekistan? Have you ever been, for example, to a hospital in Russia or Tajikistan or whatever, any other country?
I have been in Russia.
As some kind of
effects. For traveling, I went.
Okay, but you went to a hospital there?
Yes, I traveled. No, don't went. No, I didn't went to hospital.
Okay, you do not have a medical experience.
It was just
for vacation.
I believe
this was all then. Thank you, Zarina Bono Farhodovna, or Bono. Thank you, Doctor Zarina, for coming here today, for accepting my invitation. It's been interesting to learn about the difference between Turkey and Uzbekistan.
Thank you for inviting me. For this chatting, I was extremely happy, and in addition, I absolutely happy to know you, because you are my friend in the foreign language. If you want to come to Uzbekistan, come. I will be guest from my home. It doesn't matter. Thank you very much. It was a perfect conversation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And for everyone watching, thank you for watching us until the end. And if you want to check Dr. Zarina's page or her YouTube channel, I will put the link here on the screen and down here on the description. Thank you all for coming, and
Okay. Have
a good night, and especially have a good night, Dr. Zarina. Go get some sleep.
Yes, thank you. Good night.